Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. In 1969, the 26-year-old German musician Manfred Eicher began what would become one of the world's longest-running and most influential jazz labels, with a signature production approach that emphasized space and a roster of artists that included Keith Jarrett, Paul Motion, Chick Corea, and Gary Burton. In the next hour, we'll hear music from the label's earliest recordings featuring those artists and others. It's ECM, Birth of a Label, coming up on this edition of Nightlights. pianist Chick Corea performing Picture One from his 1971 ECM album, Piano Improvisations, Volume One. In 1969, a 26-year-old German bassist and production assistant named Manfred Eicher started a new record label called ECM, which stood for Edition of Contemporary Music, a name that invoked Eicher's ambition to treat the recordings he'd release with the care and respect of literary works. He had no business plan, only a desire to record the improvisatory music that was evolving out of a turbulent time for jazz. As Oakley and Weiser notes in the book ECM, Cultural Archaeology, ECM was founded at the end of a historically pivotal and challenging decade, an era when the explosive issues connected to emancipatory political and cultural logics were not only reshaping modern society, but also transforming the arts. The ensuing albums of ECM's first few years, shaped by Eicher's auteur producer instincts and his respect for the creative vision of the musicians he worked with, reflect the artistic aftermath of the upheavals that continued to reverberate into the 1970s. Appropriately enough, the first album that ECM recorded and released was pianist Mal Waldron's Free at Last. The title invoked both Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech and the free jazz movement of the 1960s, but it also foretold ECM's commitment to serving the artistic product over the conventional strictures and expectations of the marketplace. The philosophy paid off for ECM in the long run, becoming part of what you could now call the ECM brand and elevating it to a lofty realm of enduring jazz labels occupied primarily by Blue Note Records. It all began with this album, Mal Waldron on Nightlights.
Thank you.
pianist Mal Waldron performing Boo from Free at Last, the first album to be recorded and released by the German record label ECM, with Isla Eckinger on bass and Clarence Becton on drums. ECM's initial 500 copies pressing of Free at Last sold out, spurred on by an enthusiastic response from Japanese fans of Mal Waldron and giving Eicher the financial ability to move forward with his new label. Waldron's album may not have been representative of what came to be known as the ECM sound, associated with generous amounts of space, silence, and natural reverb. But in terms of the music, from the beginning, ECM has been more wide-ranging in its choices than it's often given credit for. The label also documented the vitality of the European jazz scene that was finally finding its own way in the late 1960s and early 70s, freeing itself from the dominant influence of American jazz. Norwegian saxophonist Jan Garbarek was in his early 20s when he began recording for ECM at the dawn of the 1970s, and his albums reflected the changing musical dynamic. From his 1971 ECM album Sart, here's Fountain of Tears, Parts 1 and 2 on Nightlights. Thank you. Saxophonist and flutist Jan Garbarek doing Fountains of Tears Parts 1 and 2 from his 1971 ECM album Sart, with pianist Bobo Stenson, guitarist Thierry Ripdahl, bassist Errol Anderson, and percussionist John Christensen. Although the rise of ECM in the 1970s helped herald the European jazz scene finally coming into its own, many of the label's artists were American. And perhaps no artist has been more indelibly associated with ECM over the years than American pianist Keith Jarrett, whose 1975 ECM release, The Cologne Concert, is one of the best-selling jazz albums of all time, and one of more than 40 that Jarrett has recorded for the label in all, including the massive 1978 10-LP Sunbear Concerts box set. Jarrett was drawn to Manfred Eicher's willingness to accommodate the pianist's creative vision in ways that other labels would have contested or not allowed. He later said it was difficult for him to imagine how his career would have proceeded if ECM had not existed. His so-called and much-admired European quartet of the mid to late 1970s, which included Jan Garbarek, made all of its recordings for ECM. Given the wide range of ground that a typical Jarrett performance covers, ECM was a natural home for the pianist in more ways than one. From his 1972 ECM debut, Facing You, here's Keith Jarrett doing Semblance on Nightlights. Keith Jarrett performing Semblance from his 1972 ECM debut, Facing You. While Jarrett became perhaps the most prominent artist of the ECM roster, a number of avant-garde jazz musicians found a home on the label in its earliest years, including saxophonist Marion Brown, whose Afternoon of a Georgia Faun remains a seminal record of the early 1970s, saxophonist Evan Parker and guitarist Derek Bailey's Music Improvisation Company, and the group Circle, whose members included Anthony Braxton, Chick Corea, bassist Dave Holland, and drummer Barry Altschul. In 1972, Holland, Braxton, and Altschul joined forces with another avant-garde figure, multi-instrumentalist Sam Rivers, to record an album that would come to be seen as an early ECM classic. Here's the title track from Conference of the Birds on Nightlights.
Thank you.
the Dave Holland Quartet performing the title track from their 1973 ECM album, Conference of the Birds, with Holland on bass, Sam Rivers and Anthony Braxton on reeds and flutes, and Barry Altschul on percussion and marimba. I'll have more music from ECM's earliest recordings in just a few moments. You can listen to many previous Nightlights programs on our website at wfiu.org/nightlights. Production support comes from Landlocked Music, offering new and used CDs, LPs, and more. Now located in the David Baker Building at 115 South Walnut in downtown Bloomington, Indiana, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner. Outdoor seating available at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant. The Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to ECM, Birth of a Label, on Nightlights. Featuring music from the earliest years of the ECM label on this edition of Nightlights. ECM, much like the Blue Note and CTI labels, developed an aesthetic around its releases that was grounded in appearance as well as sound. ECM album covers rarely featured photos of the artist and often employed a minimalist and evocative use of space that conjured the sonic landscapes within the record. Label founder Manfred Eicher had looked to 1960s labels such as America's ESP and Europe's FMP for some of his inspiration, but ECM from the beginning reflected Eicher's own high standards of art, production, and design. Musically, he was drawn to much of the American free jazz scene that was making as much or more of an impact in Europe than it had in its home country. Many people were saying at the end of the 1960s that jazz was at a dead end, Eicher said many years later, but we felt we should address this music in a different way, put it in a different envelope. One of the 1960s artists Eicher admired was pianist Paul Bley, citing his album Footloose in particular as a touchstone. And though the ECM sound is in many ways an inaccurate stereotype, some of Bley's early recordings for the label signal the more atmospheric and spatial aspects of subsequent ECM recordings. From his 1972 ECM album Open to Love, here's Paul Bley in Nothing Ever Was Anyway on Nightlights. Pianist Paul Blay doing Annette Peacock's Nothing Ever Was Anyway from his 1972 ECM album Open to Love. Blay and Keith Jarrett were not the only pianists making notable albums for ECM in the early 1970s. Chick Corea had already garnered attention for ECM with his Piano Improvisations album, as well as his work in the Arc Trio and Circle Quartet. Now he used ECM to debut what would become one of the most significant fusion groups of the 1970s, Return to Forever. From the group's eponymous 1972 album, here's What Game Shall We Play Today on Nightlights. Return to Forever, and What Game Shall We Play from their eponymous 1972 ECM album, with Chick Corea on keyboards, Joe Farrell on flute, Stanley Clark on bass, Ayerto Moraya on drums, and Flora Purim on vocals. The previous year, Corea had teamed up with vibraphonist Gary Burton for the first of four ECM albums recorded in the 1970s, an artistic partnership the two would return to in later years. When Burton debuted his new group on ECM in 1973, he led off with a Korea composition called Open Your Eyes, You Can Fly, which, much like What Game Shall We Play Today, showed how melodic and accessible ECM records could be, further testament to the broad expanse of the label's sound. From New Quartet, here's Gary Burton on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Vibraphonist Gary Burton doing Open Your Eyes, You Can Fly from his 1973 ECM album New Quartet, with Michael Goodrick on guitar, Abraham Laboriel on bass, and Harry Blazer on drums. By the time of New Quartet's appearance, ECM had already established a stellar reputation with a number of jazz writers. Reviewing some of ECM's earliest releases in a September 1971 Jazz Journal article, Barry McRae wrote, "This represents the beginning of an impressive catalog, and we can only hope that they are able to continue." In 1973, Alan Ofstein concluded a lengthy overview of the label for the jazz magazine Coda by writing, "ECM Records has initiated a great service to the musical arts by daring to publish music that most large companies would balk at for economic reasons. By encouraging the experimental as well as pursuing the proven, ECM fosters the changes that all art undergoes, and by making the art public, enhances the cultures which generate it. Enlightenment at all levels, creative, technological, and production, rarely coincide. Yet at ECM, all three conspire for the sake of human communication." And it was only the beginning. These writers' hopes for the label were fulfilled far beyond what they or anybody else could have imagined in the early 1970s, as ECM built on its success over the next five decades, releasing more than 1,600 albums, expanding into modern classical and other forms of music, and maintaining a diverse roster of jazz artists who continue to be drawn to the label for its artistic integrity and global respect. I'll close out with music from drummer Paul Motion's 1973 debut for ECM, a duet that includes the label's powerhouse pianist Keith Jarrett. Here's the title track from Conception Vessel on Nightlights. Thank you. I close with drummer Paul Motion and pianist Keith Jarrett performing the title track from Motion's 1973 ECM album, Conception Vessel. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights. You can hear previous programs on our website at wfiu.org/nightlights. Production support comes from Landlocked Music, offering new and used CDs, LPs, and more. Now located in the David Baker Building at 115 South Walnut in downtown Bloomington, Indiana, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe, serving veggie burgers, salads, and burritos for lunch and dinner. Outdoor seating available at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant. The Laughing Planet Cafe, online at thelaughingplanetcafe.com. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.